Well, we're looking at September 30th, the mark of the true gospel and the false gospel in the book of Galatians. Marty's going to start an adult Sunday school class this morning talking about the book of Galatians. And we're going to work our way through the book of Galatians. And when we get to the end of that, we're going to start the book of Ephesians. And then we're going to move into the book of Philippians and Colossians, and when it gets to be spring next year, we'll take a break for the summer. But we're going to start again our education, and so we'll have fellowship after church, and then we'll join around the table and take a look at the book of Galatians. And God being as sovereign as He is, months and months ago, I laid out a lesson plan for the messages that I'll be giving on through the end of the year, and I'm working on next year's message plans. And it so happened that this was the message that I had proposed to do when Marty and I got together to pray and decide what book to study, and it was kind of a fun deal that this was already on top of the list when we got to there. So, when you think about the gospel, is there one true gospel, or are there many ways to get to heaven? When you think about it, is there just one way? Or are there a variety of ways? We live in a culture where people say that there are many ways to get to heaven. Many churches who have Jesus Christ or Christ in the name of them will say that there are a variety of ways to get there, won't they? But what about you? When you share, I am doing this Bible study. It's by John MacArthur. It's entitled "Hard to Believe," and the subtitle is "Understanding the High Cost and the Infinite Value of Fellowship with Jesus." John is one of the more outspoken gentlemen in our culture as far as proclaiming that a lot of the churches, even churches that claim to be Christian churches, aren't presenting the gospel in a clear and concise way that really leads people to salvation and really leads people to an eternal involvement in the kingdom of God. And so we're going to take a brief look at an overview of the book of Galatians this morning. What we as United Brethren believe is that the Bible is complete and that salvation and the relationship with Jesus Christ is the only way to get to heaven, and that we should structure our lives based on this book. Because I'm your pastor and also involved with Victorious Christian Living Ministries, I get the opportunity to work with other churches on a regular basis. And in this past week, we had some involvement with one of our local churches. It's a mainline denomination. And they have decided to use our discipleship curriculum that is entitled SALT, the Seven Areas of Life, in their small groups. But this mainline denominational church that if I said the name of it, you'd say, oh yeah, I've heard of that denomination. Oh yeah, they're a Christian denomination. They do not believe that the scriptures are true. The young pastor that's there is a single pastor, and he doesn't believe that all of the Bible is true. And he personally preaches all the time that having premarital sex is not a problem according to the scripture. Or if you're married and having extramarital sex, as long as it's consenting adults, is no problem. Or having homosexual relationships is not a biblical problem. And the list goes on, and when we sit down to visit with him, he says, well, you know, we don't agree with all of your biblical presentations, but it'll certainly spark some interesting conversation in our small group, so we'll do your materials for the sake of sparking interesting conversation. And I say that to tell you that there are a lot of churches that do not present a clear presentation of the gospel. Now, you and I can't do anything about that, but here's what you and I can do. We can clearly understand what the gospel is so that when the Lord Jesus calls us into a relationship to present that with somebody, that we don't miscommunicate His amazing grace, His wonderful love, and the need for personal denial and sacrificial life in response to His gift. So, as we look at that, how many of you know how a ping pong game or a tennis game is played? Anybody know? Okay, how does that work? Yeah, you kind of hit the ball back and forth, don't you? Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So as you look at our two players in the game today, one of them is the true gospel and one of them is the false gospel. And what we're going to do is kind of bat it back and forth. We'll take a couple Bible verses and we'll look at it from the true side. Then we'll take a couple verses and we'll bat it back and forth from the false. So it'll go back and forth and back and forth. Kind of like a tennis match. Or a ping pong game. So you don't get confused as to how I orchestrated the outline. That was kind of what was in my head when I wrote this. So the mark of the true gospel, if we look at the first chapter of Galatians, verses 11 and 12, here's what the Bible says. I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preach is not something that man made up. So, I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by a revelation from Jesus Christ. Although I didn't read that very clearly. Here's the point. The true gospel teaches that the source of our gospel is from God. Now, you'll notice that the editorial staff forgot to take the blanks, the words out of the blanks. So all of your blanks are filled in today. The editorial staff missed that. And I was literally here yesterday producing the bulletins. And when I went to fold the first one and I looked at the back and I said, I could have done that different, Lord. I could have not filled in the blanks. But here's the point. The source of the gospel is from God. It's not something that a man made up. Now, are there churches that you know of where man makes up how it's done? How many of you can think of one? You know? You do this, you do that, and then, right? In Jesus' day, the scribes and the Pharisees had tacked on all of these rules and regulations to what God had said. God gave them basically 10 commandments. Here's how to have a relationship with me, and here's how to have a good relationship with other people. And by the time Jesus comes along, there's hundreds of laws and rules, right? It wasn't God's design to do all of that. And Jesus got in more trouble because he didn't follow all their rules than anything else with the church, and they finally got so ticked off at him that they killed him, right? But the source of the gospel is God Himself. False gospels will not have that. There will be some guy that you follow rather than God. Does that make sense? So, when you present the gospel, you have to present it as something from God. Second one, Galatians 2:20. And I should tell you before I read you this that as I was becoming a believer, this was one of the fundamental exchange life principles in my life that had a dramatic impact on me. That when I began to understand and memorize and apply this one verse to my life, it had a big change. Here's what it says. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. When I first understood this verse, I knew that when I became born again, I became a new creature. But how does that all life out? How does that work? And I began to understand the reality of this verse, that I was crucified, the old me that I was crucified with Christ. It's no longer that old rascal Bill that lives. It's the new John that lives in me and through me. Oh, John was my disciple's name that I was given when I was born again. It's the new me that lives through my hirsute. And how does that happen? I do that by putting faith in the fact that the old me was crucified. And the new me is now that lives through me. So when you look at this point, the true gospel knows that life is obtained through death. Death is your blank that you don't have to fill in this week. We trust in the Son of God who loved us and died for us so that we might die to sin and live in Him. Now, last night, it was just about bedtime, and I asked Julie this question. Where is that box of wildflower seeds that my grandson bought for you? She says, oh, it's outside and hanging on a sack in the garage wall. And I said, oh, okay, I'm going to get that on the way to church and take that for an illustration at church. Well, I had to go grab some of the Jacobs Brothers corn that didn't get planted because I forgot the wildflower seeds. But what is this? It's corn. Now, how did they get? How many bushels an acre do you get, Chris? 200 plus. What's the highest number you heard? 270 bushels an acre. Boy, my grandfather, if he could have heard that, he would have been dancing in the streets, right? 270 bushels of corn an acre. Well, how do you get these things? Yeah, you take one of these little kernels here and you plant it. Now, granted, if this is a genetic hybrid, it doesn't work the same as, but just think of it in corn the way God originally designed it before man started dinking with it, like the gospel, right? I don't know whether this is Roundup ready or whether, but theoretically, this seed, if we planted it in the ground, would do what? It'd grow 270 of these per acre. Now, this has to go into the ground and die to get that, doesn't it? Life comes through death, and Jesus consistently presented this, that the only way to genuinely experience the kingdom life is for you to die. You have to die in order to experience the kingdom life. Now, you don't die physically. The old sinful nature that was you dies when the gospel comes into your life. And then it grows into something. So, life comes through death. Doesn't it? That's how it works. And when they plant us in the ground after we're dead, we just become fertilizer so that the corn around here grows more. Right? But, so that's an important concept in the true gospel, that life comes through death. Now, let's bat the ball back and forth. The false gospel comes in the next verse. Excuse me. Galatians 2:20 is the truth. Now, Galatians 2:21 says this, I do not set aside the grace of God, for it is righteous. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So the false gospel treats Christ's death as meaningless. Excuse me. A false gospel will treat the crucifixion of Christ as meaningless. Here's the real gospel. Jesus Christ is God and is man. He lived a sinless life so that he could be the perfect substitutional death for us. As you read the Old Testament, three times a day they took a lamb and they killed it and spread blood, didn't they? There has to be an offering, a substitutional offering death for Adam's sin and our sin. Jesus Christ is God, is man, lived a sinless life, and performed the substitutional sacrifice on his death on the cross. It is a key component of communicating the gospel is you need somebody to stand in your stead. You need a substitutional death. But a false gospel will not even present the death of Christ in its context. It will present, this is the benefits to you to become a Christian. If you become a Christian, these are all the benefits that you will get. That's the way it's presented in our culture today. You want your life to change? Well, get saved. But there will be no mention of the bloody sacrificial death of Christ because our culture doesn't like the bloody gospel. Now, we like to watch blood on TV every night And we like to watch sex on our TV every night, but when it comes to presenting the gospel, we don't want to talk about blood and gore. Although if you watch an hour of television, you will see several bloody deaths. Right? Jules was flipping through the channels when I got home from the hospital last night. She shut the TV off. She says, there isn't anything on there I want to look at before I go to bed. You know? She flips to one, and here's an old couple that have been shot in bed with shotguns. Messy when the cops have to go to those things. It's really messy when you shoot somebody with a shotgun. Close range. Right? Messy. We need to present in our gospel the death of Jesus Christ. Not only did he do the substitutional death, but he was planted in the grave, just like that seed, and he rose from the dead. And that's what got Paul in all of his trouble, wasn't it? As you read Galatians, you read Ephesians, you read Philippians with me in this next week, he will get in trouble because he's saying, this guy rose from the dead. That is our hope, is in his resurrection, and you need to present that to people as you present the gospel. But a false gospel will say it's just, you know, it's don't worry about that cross stuff, that crucifixion stuff, you know, that's not important. What's important is the benefits to you. That's what our culture is telling people in churches all over the United States today. They will not mention the death. Now, the false gospel in chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible says, the law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. So the point is, the false gospels say people must obey the law in order to be saved. You must obey the law, the Old Testament law, to be saved. Julie and I went out to dinner with a couple and just recently, and in the conversation, they were talking about being raised and their friends being raised in the Catholic Church. And when you're about Jonah's age, you sit in a class and they write on the board, on one side you have your venial sins, and on the other side you have your mortal sins. Now these venial sins over here, if you do those, you could be, you know, you could do penance and you could pay restitution to the church and you could be dealt with. But if you do these mortal sins over here, forget it. There ain't nothing can save you if you do those, right? And they create all of these different venues, these hoops that you have to jump through in order to be saved. And the fact of the matter is, in the pure gospel, there ain't nothing, honey. Ain't nothing, sir, that you can do to save yourself. You need a substitute. You need a Savior. And His name is Jesus Christ. It's not jumping through the hoops and obeying the laws that get you saved. Now, last week, as I taught in the park on Solomon's conclusion of life, one of the conclusions we came to is it's a good idea for you to obey the laws of the land, isn't it? It's a really good idea. And Christ within you, Galatians 2:20, the Christ that lives within me wants to obey the laws. He does not want to rebel like the old me did. The new me wants to be obedient. So you will want to be obedient to the laws of the land. And you will want to love God like the first commandment says. And you will not want to lust after your neighbor's wife or manservant or maidservant or motorcycle or car, or boat or house. That will naturally want to happen. So you will obey the laws, but they don't save you. It is the result of the exchange life of Christ living within you. Now, the mark of the true gospel will hit the ball back to the other side of the court. In chapter 3, verse 14 says this, He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we receive the promise of the Spirit. So the true gospel explains that all believers have the Holy Spirit through faith. The true gospel says all of us experience the wonder and the amazing life of the Holy Spirit within us. Now, the concluding illustration is an email that Denise sent me to me about the wow of the Holy Spirit living within us. But the fact of the matter is, all of us have the Holy Spirit. One of the reasons I did not want to become your pastor is because I did not want the title of pastor. Because you have the same Holy Spirit that I have. It's not that you have to come to the pastor to do penance. You go directly to God. You know, I would never want to be a pope. Or, you know, you don't need those positions. All of us have equality before God if we have the life of the Lord Jesus within us. All of us are equals. It's not that the Father is greater than the Son, or the Holy Spirit is greater than the Son or greater than the Father. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are co-equals who abide together in unity and harmony. How do you have right relationships within your family? When you're believers, all of you are on an equal playing field. You all have the same abilities. You all have the same Holy Spirit. The only thing that excels one of us from another is the fact of how deeply our relationship is with the Holy Spirit that all of us have. So all of us have the equal anointing of this Holy Spirit. And you receive that through faith. As I believe, by faith, that the Spirit that lives within me is now that lives out of my body, Galatians 2:20, that's how it becomes. It's by faith that I put in Him, not in myself. And I continually remind myself to go back to the fact that I have the Holy Spirit within. Galatians chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Is the law, therefore, opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if the law had been given that you could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture declares that the whole world is prisoner to sin, so that what is promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Excuse me. The true gospel declares that we cannot be saved by keeping laws. The only way of salvation is through faith, is your blank, in Jesus Christ, which is available to all. It's not by keeping the laws, it's by the faith in God. Now, Jesus got in trouble all the time because he would do stuff on Saturday. Do you remember that? Saturday is the Sabbath. And on Saturday, the Jewish law said you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't walk this far and you can't do that. And he would do bizarre things like heal people, raise them from the dead, and he'd do it on Saturday. Right? It's not keeping the laws that gets you saved. It's your relationship with the Father. How do you get a relationship with the Father? Through the Son. It's the only way. How do you get into the kingdom of God? Through the Son, Jesus Christ. Through the wooing and drawing of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way. You can't get into relationship. You can't get into the kingdom without it. There'll be lots of people today who talk to folks in their churches about getting into heaven. I'm talking to you about getting into the kingdom. Becoming a kingdom son through adoption through Jesus Christ. It's the only way, and it's through faith in Jesus and Him alone. That's what the true gospel says. So we'll bat the ball back to the other side, the false gospel, chapter 4, verse 10. You are observing special days and months and seasons of the year. So the false gospel try to find favor with God by observing certain rituals. Certain rituals is what gets you. One of the big rituals that's coming up soon in the, on your calendar, I put, what? Halloween. One of the big rituals. Observing Satan's Day. Yippee! And you, as you drive along, there's all kinds of people already decorating for the festivities. And then after that, we'll have, we were talking yesterday about where we're going to put our Christmas tree. Right? Building this new room, and there's this big window, and we came to the conclusion, let's put a Christmas tree there. And the first thought, Marilyn, we could put a big one, because it's a higher ceiling, a bigger room. You know? Yeah. Now, does observing that ritual get you any closer to God? Absolutely not. It's not even the day the guy was born on. It's not even his birthday. It's just a ritual that people do. The day was picked by a Roman king. He decided, let's celebrate Jesus' birthday on this day that we celebrate these other gods' day, so everybody will be celebrating on the same day, and I don't have to have two legal holidays in the Roman Empire. That's literally how Christmas got on that day. It's just a ritual. It means nothing in our relationship with God. Jesus, His sinless life, His sacrificial death, His propitiatory, substitutionary death and resurrection for us. That's the only thing that gets us favor with God, is relating to Him. Not these rituals. Now, the false gospel in 5:4. You are trying to be justified by the law. Having been alienated from Christ, you have fallen away from grace. The false gospels count on keeping the laws to keep right with God. You don't stay right with God by how you behave. Your behavior does not make you right with God. What makes you right with God is your belief system, not your behavioral system. What you believe, who you put faith in, that's what makes you right with God. And if you fall away from the grace and try to do it in your own strength, it's the false gospel. But there are lots of churches that will tell you, well, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this in order to be a part of the church. False. Belief in Jesus Christ, faith in the grace that He gives you, as you read Ephesians chapter 2 tonight, when you read that, it is by grace through faith that you are saved. That's the only way. How do you stay saved? By grace through faith. It's God's grace that saves you. It's God's grace that keeps you. It's because He's a gracious creature that we're not bugs on a bumper someplace. Squished. By rights, that's what He should do to sinful, rebellious cusses like you and me. Right? But He's graceful. So as you present the gospel, present it as a graceful thing that you put faith in this Lord Jesus and you continually live the life by putting faith in Him. That's what makes you right with God. Now, let's go back to the true gospel. Chapter 3, 26, 27, and 28. You are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. For all who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. The true gospel says that all believers are one in Christ. So there's no basis for discrimination of any kind. The true gospel says Lydia has as much value as Paul. And Attaia says as great a value as Timothy. Now, there's false gospels all around that say, well, women can't do this and men can't do that. Well, that's not biblical. It's not the true gospel. We have all become one with God through Jesus Christ. There's no difference. There's no black ones. There's no white ones. There's no red ones. There's no yellow ones. Right? We're all one. That's the truth. There's no discrimination of any kind. One of the coolest things about being united brethren is what we finish. John, what we start with, what we focus on is being in unity with people. We look at what we get along with people about, not what we disagree about. In all of our families and our relationships all over, there's unreconciled relationships. Why? Because we focus on what we don't agree about. If we just focused on what we do agree about, we all have the same bloodline. You know, we all came from the same biological parent or parents. We could focus on the positive things rather than the things we don't agree with. When you present the gospel, look for the commonalities that you have with people and try to consistently build that list. Don't build a list of the things that you disagree with them about. Does that make sense? The true gospel is we focus on unity and the positives. The mark of the true gospel in 5:24 and 25. Those who believe in Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature and its passions and desires. Yes, amen. And since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us keep in harmony with the Spirit. So the true gospel proclaims that we are free from the grip of sin and that the Holy Spirit's power fills and guides us. That's the true gospel. Bless you, girl. That you are free from sin and the Holy Spirit resides within you. Now, this is the email Denise sent to me. It's from The Purpose Driven Life, and it was written by a guy named John Walker. Long ago and far away, there was a teacher who worked painstakingly to teach me how to play the guitar. Every week, we'd climb up and down the musical stairs crafted by the phonetic, hexatonic, hexaponic, octatonic scales. I don't know if that's right. That's how I pronounce them. This is the emphasis on technique frustrated me, and I grew to hate it so much that I abandoned the guitar until playing it began to become a positive part of my midlife crisis. Okay, yes, I would have been a better guitar player today if I had practiced what the teacher told me. And yes, kids, eat your spinach too. But somehow, I became burdened with technique of making music, and I lost the exhilarating pleasure of music, its power. It makes my heart soar towards the grace-filled life of God. You may say, or we could say, the how of guitar intensity muted the wow of the music. So you get his illustration? Trying so hard to do it right, he lost the fun of making the music. So his premise is, in the church, we get so caught up on the how to do church, the how to be a Christian, that we lose the wow of a sunset, or the wow of the fact that God is actively at work in our lives. Does that make sense? Here's the rest of the devotional. In our well-meaning intended to focus on how of Christianity, I sometimes wonder if we lose insight of the wow that God's Holy Spirit lives within us and that He is with us always, day after day after day, until the end. Wow! Can I get an amen? Now, wow! The God of the universe is present by His Spirit within me. Is that wow? Here's another one. Wow! God, who spoke the world into existence, He lives within me. Wow! The same God who placed the moon and the stars in the sky also placed His Spirit within me. Have you noticed that big full moon? The God that lives within you flung that sucker up in there. He's the one who keeps it spinning. He's the one who shines the light on it, makes it so pretty. Why? Just for you and I to say, wow, our God is an awesome God, isn't He? Wow! God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, considers me one of His heirs, and is pleased to give me a share in His kingdom. Wow! Now, for some of you, that's not a stretch, but for me, that's a big stretch. Wow! The God of creation spoke to me in His mother's womb. Shaped me. Isn't it fun when somebody who's professional makes typos? I just love it when he misspells stuff, gets through their editorial staff. Shaped me as a masterpiece crafted for the mission proclaiming His wow throughout the world. It's not the how of how we do Christianity. It's the wow that God lives within. Good God Almighty, He lives. He lives. Christ lives in me today. Galatians 2:20. That's the verse I started out with. Remember? The wow is with me always and forever. Yesterday, tomorrow, forever, and ever again. Amen. Now, the good news we proclaim without any shame is the wow is in our hearts. The wow we have come into our hearts confesses Jesus Christ as Lord. What does it mean? Set your heart on the wow. You must be deliberate in staying focused on the wow. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Relationship over results. God is more interested in you than He is in your methods. Wow! The good news is that God is truly interested in the life of each person He placed on the planet. Are there some relationships where you emphasize the how over the wow? No commandment harmed. No commandment was harmed in making this devotional. Ha! Staying intimately focused on the wow does not suggest the how is unimportant or that the wow can compromise biblical truth or downgrade it. The way, the truth, and the life. The greatest how is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. The second is love your neighbor as you love yourself. The wow guides us to the how. Now, we appropriate Christ's life and then we express it in love. The most important thing of presenting the gospel, the true gospel, is God's love. God loves you. God loves the person that you're presenting it to. So always do it in love, concerned with love, not the technical aspects of it. So in conclusion, let's determine then to clearly understand and communicate the true gospel. In Christ and in love, let us choose to experience Christ as our life. That's the conclusion.